You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 2, Episode 2. Well, hey, friends, and welcome to Feathers. I'm so glad to have you back this week. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know there's like a gazillion other things you could be listening to, but I just really believe that God is using this to encourage and inspire women to walk in faith. I just really hope it does the same thing for you during the next hour or so. Today, we have Crystal Evans Hurst. She loves to encourage other women to love the Lord, love their families, and to love themselves. Crystal is a wife and mother of five, and she is the author of Kingdom Woman. She blogs at crystalevanshurst.com, and she has a podcast called Crystal's Chronicles. And I think you will see why I invited Crystal. She has a great story, and she has so much wisdom to share and shares it so well. And so let's go ahead and jump into my conversation with Crystal. Hi, Crystal, and welcome to Feathers.
Thank you for having me, Amy. I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you. How about we start off and you can introduce yourself and your family?
Sure. Well, Crystal Evans is my maiden name, Hurst, and I am married to Jesse Hurst. We have five children. We're a blended family. When we got married, he and I both, we each gave each other a girl for our wedding day gift. And then after that, we added three boys. So we've got kids right now from 23 to 19 on the girls, and then 12, 10, and 6 for the boys. So I've got marriage, and then I've got a grandchild on the way in December.
Oh, congratulations. Do you guys know yet whether it's a boy or a girl?
No, we don't.
That's so exciting. Yeah, I was just talking to somebody actually at a conference this weekend, and she was talking about how her dad, she was a new grandmother, and how her dad was just giving her a hard time, saying, "Hey, Grandma."
Yeah, they're killing me. But that's okay.
Yeah, I've heard it's the best thing ever. So you'll have to let us know.
I will. I'll let you know in a few months.
All right. So this is exciting because you're actually the first other podcaster I've interviewed. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Well, I've been podcasting for a little over a year, and I started it because once I realized that I could type 75 words a minute for 30 minutes and have about 2,000 words, or I could talk for 30 minutes and have about 8,000 words, I thought, you know what? I think with, you know, just transcription in mind and book stuff in mind, I should podcast. I might get motivated. I'm a person who verbally likes to process, and I also feel that speaking allows me to share both in my tone and, you know, just the temperature of what I'm saying, just a little bit more color, where words, you know, you can share color with words, but it's a lot harder to come up with the exact word that shares the exact emotion. When I'm podcasting, I love doing that because they can hear exactly what I'm saying the way I wanted to say it. So I've been doing that, and I podcast mainly about faith, family, fitness, and then I say fun because fun lets me talk about anything else I want to talk about.
Uh-huh.
So it's just my journey through life and me sharing a little bit about that along the way.
That is such a good point about the words per minute type calculation. And I've actually found that too. I have been a writer for, I don't know, several years just blogging. And then my podcast just started in March. And so now that I've been doing more speaking, I go to write something. I'm like, oh, it would be so much faster if I could just record this.
Absolutely.
I've
learned how to tie those two things together though now. It used to be, you know, I'd have a thought for a blog post or a podcast or just anything and, you know, put it in the notes in my phone or what have you. Well, now I don't bother with that. I either will go to notes and use the little voice dictation thing to say what I mean. Mm-hmm. So it still gets written down faster, or if it's a lot of words, then I'll use the voice recorder to kind of get all of my thoughts out and then later sit down so I don't miss anything. Because I'm sure as a speaker and then as a writer, you know that, you know, there are moments that you want to capture, and sometimes you can't get the exact thought back with the same emotion that you had it when it came to you, you know? So being able to capture those things on the phone and then use them later, you know, either for a podcast or for a blog post, it works out good that way.
Yes, I have found that too. And just as I've found that speaking is just a lot faster, and just like you said, the emotion is there. And it, honestly, a lot of times I get ideas when I'm driving, and so I can't write it down. So that voice recorder, I'll just push record on that and then just get the thoughts out. So that's a really good point.
Yep.
So
yep,
I've just found your podcast. So I've listened to a couple episodes, and I really enjoy how you kind of tie, just kind of everyday life stuff and what you're learning, but also being able to tie that out to what other people might be going through, like just the emotion, you know, parts of that.
Yeah. Well, we all are living stories, and if we gaze long enough, there's so many similarities. And so I just figure I'll share what I'm learning, and it'll be good to somebody some kind of way.
Yep. So today what we're going to talk about is your faith journey into writing your book, Kingdom Woman, which you co-authored with your dad, Tony Evans. So can you take us back to that journey about you said it was not on your radar to do this book and how that came to be?
Yeah, no, not at all. I thought in the back of my mind, I had a goal of writing a book, but that was a book that I was going to write when I was 65. It was a book that I was going to write so that way any story I wanted to tell about my children, at that point I already know how they've turned out, so then I can tell, you know, I don't have to write something and then go, oops, well, that didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to.
Right.
So I read a book one time by an author, I can't think of her name. I picked up the book in a Half Price bookstore, and it was 12 lessons I've learned. And in the introduction of the book, she basically just said, if you and I were friends and you came over for coffee, these are the things that I would tell you. So they're not connected. There's no overarching theme other than these are the lessons. And that was one of the best books I've ever read. It was just, you know, short chapters. She'd tell a little story, and then she'd tell you, you know, and she was about 65 years old when she wrote that. So I thought, you know what, that's what I want to do. I'm busy mothering right now. I'm totally happy being a peanut butter and jelly aficionado. And I'm, you know, I've still got a little kid, and I'll be doing this for a while. So we'll just put that off for a later date. Well, in 2012, my dad called, and he had written Kingdom Man, and so a lot of his radio listeners are women, and asked, well, where's the book for women? And he called me and said, you know, I'd like to write a book called Kingdom Woman, and I'd love to have your voice in on that book. Would you be willing to do that? And I was like, do what? He's like, write the book. I was like, absolutely not. And he said, why? I said, well, first of all, the title is Kingdom Woman, and I don't know who she is or what she's supposed to be like, but I'm pretty sure I'm not her. That just sounds a little bit too high for where I'm at right now. And he said, no, it doesn't have to be this perfection thing, and you can totally be honest about where you are and kind of what your reality is. And I said, okay, well, the answer's still no. And he said, why? So because I've got 5 kids, I'm too busy. You know, I don't have time for that. And he said, well, haven't you written a lot already? And I said, well, yeah, I have a blog, but I haven't done much with it lately, but I did write a little bit here and there. And so he had his personal editor take a look at my blog, and they came back and said, oh, we found, you know, at least 20 to 25,000 words here. I said, well, that's great, but the answer is still no. And he said, why? I said, because, you know, I just, even to rework that, I'm sure in the time frame that you guys are working with, I just won't be able to meet that deadline. He said, oh, no problem. You'll have a year. And I tell you what, I'll write the heavy stuff, like the theological stuff. You just tell the stories. I said, okay. Yeah, well, maybe. You know, at each step of the way, he kept saying, you know, it would really bless me if you would do this. It would really be an honor to me if you would participate with me in this project. And, you know, so now I'm feeling a little guilty about not doing it. But after they addressed those 3 concerns, I just thought, you know what, I probably can fit this into my life over the next year. If I can be honest, I'll be okay with that. And then when I finally said yes, he called me back and he goes, hey, by the way, are you ready to start writing that book? And I said, sure. I mean, I got a year. And he said, well, actually you don't, because you've kind of had a change of plans. And I was like, what do you mean? Mm. And he said, well, you've got like 8 weeks. I said, what? You got to be kidding me. And I said,
that is not enough time.
No, you can do it. You can do it. I mean, you know, it was that kind of thing. So this really, one, was not on my radar at all. 2, it certainly wasn't something I'd planned to commit 8 weeks of my life, you know, just kind of pouring myself into it. And but I can totally see how in 2020 it was something that God wanted me to do. I mean, there's, you know, for me to have a first book experience where I just get to go and rework stuff I've already written. I mean, you know, that was nice. And then in addition to that, there was a lot of self-discovery just along the way of what God had done in my life that I maybe hadn't paid a lot of attention to. messages that he'd given me to share that I really didn't. You know, when you're down in the trenches every day doing what you do, you know, whether you're a mom or whether you're working, sometimes we don't really do a good job of backing up and taking a nice wide angle scan of what we've actually gained from the places in which we live. And so writing the book let me do that. It let me back up and say, okay, what have I learned about this section of my life, of motherhood, or what have I learned about marriage, or what have I learned about prayer? And when I backed up and took that vantage point, I was like, oh, you know what? I have had a few lessons that taught me a thing or two about who God is and what he wants to do in my life. And I have learned a few things about what happens when you pray. And I've learned a few things about what it means to be a godly wife and what it means to be a godly mother. But I think in the day-to-day grind of doing that, I didn't really get that vantage point. So the book was a blessing to me. Again, certainly nothing that I was looking to do, nothing that I was trying to do, you know. And then once you write a book, people go, oh, well, she must have something to say. So here I am again with speaking not being something I was interested in doing. I mean, it's not that I couldn't do it. I've, you know, as a pastor's daughter, I get requests to do that kind of thing all the time. But, you know, just with the season of my life, my husband had a job where he traveled a lot. So the answer many times was no. Every blue moon, I'd, you know, show up somewhere and speak somewhere. And I led worship on Sunday mornings. But for the most part, as a homeschool mom who spent basically every day with her kids, because, you know, I was homeschooling, my husband traveled a lot. So when the speaking thing started to come, it was like, really? One more thing? And not only that, but the following year, when the book came out in July 2013, Focus and Tyndale, or the publisher of the book, they said they wanted to do a group study guide, which involved a video recording. So now not only did I have to speak, but I had to speak at my church conference. And now we are a large church, and the conference is basically 3,000 women. Wow. Now not only do I have to do that, but I have to do that and have it video recorded.
Oh, boy.
So some things that people get a chance to work up to, you know, I was just kind of thrown headlong into it, dumped cold. But again, I can just see how, you know, I'm a big fan of the small yes. One of the things my mother has told me over and over again is when you don't know what you're supposed to do next, go back and figure out what he told you to do last and keep doing it until he clearly tells you what to do differently going forward. And so this was one of those things where I really didn't know what was next, but I went back to what he told me to do last. And that takes me all the way back to being a young 20-year-old and having, I'm a list writer, I'm a goal setter. And I'd written down some things that I wanted to do. I still have this piece of paper to this day. One of those was to speak to women, to write to encourage them, to be all that God has asked them to be in the season in which he has asked them to live, and to be able to relate my life experience in a way that would encourage other women to not imitate me, but imitate God in me as he's revealed himself through my life and circumstances. And here I was with this opportunity to do that very thing. And it certainly didn't arrive in the way that I thought it would, the timing that I thought it would, through the means that I thought it would, but it came. And once I realized that, look back at that prayer request, look back at those settings of goals, I said, and I actually felt the Lord say to me, this is exactly what we already discussed. I just changed the timeline. But it was totally a walk of faith, because this was around about the time my husband began having some serious health challenges. My two older girls are in and out, going to college, coming back home. I mean, it was just a madhouse, a total mayhem at times. But it was very clear to me that these were things I did not ask for, that with steps given to me that I'd had a heart for a long time. And the Lord just changed the timeline. So for the last 2 years, 3 years, I've been walking in this new thing and just going, asking God to let me go where he wants me to go and do what he says for me to do, and trusting that he sees a picture that I would never see in its complete form. And I just need to trust in the meantime.
Mm. That's so good. I just love one specific thing that I love is that there were the power of writing your goals and things that God speaks to you along the way so you can refer back to it. It just reminds me of, like, in scripture when people would, like, build an altar and just say, let's remember what God did here. And just being able to return to that. And because I think as time goes by, you kind of forget, you know, what God was doing. And I know I'm a big journaler. So I love to go back and say, oh, you know, God's actually been working this for a long time. I just kind of forgot about it. So I think that's super powerful.
Exactly. And I can tell you that that journaling is so important. From somebody who used to do it very often, very frequently, wouldn't miss a night, and then with new babies and new kids and just craziness, just being very, very spotty with it, I feel the loss of those years not documented. Now, what I've learned about myself is that I've become this fanatical picture taker. I mean, probably anywhere from 600 to 1,000 photos every month. And it dawned on me, that's why I do that, because that is my way of journaling. That's created a whole ton of gigabytes worth of material for me to go back. But I think to know that where you've been and what he did, and to know when he did it and what he said, that is so crucial as you're trying to tie the dots together as you live your life. It really is. And I think people may say, I'm not a natural writer. I'm not this. It's not even about that. It's just marking it down. It may be one sentence. It may be 10. But it's marking down what he said, when he said it, and why he said it to you. Because you never know how those things are going to interconnect later on in life.
Absolutely. I actually, we were talking before we were recording about the She Speaks conference, and one of my friends, Natalie Snapp, who was also a guest on this podcast before, and she shared her story. She was not a Christian until she was 27 years old. But in the process of her writing her book, she said somebody told her just to write her entire story from beginning to end. And she said she was absolutely shocked how God had shown up throughout her life, and she wasn't even a Christian. So just being able, when you were talking about having that wide angle, you know, look at your life to see how God was working these things, and you're not even realizing it.
Yep, exactly.
And I love another thing is, I love that you kept saying, I'm too busy. I just, especially coming out of the She Speaks conference, and so many people are just desiring to share their story in a book, and you're like, no, I'm just too busy for that right now. And but it's so true. I mean, you've got such a full life, and yet, you know, obviously those 8 weeks worked out.
It about killed me, but it did.
I'm sure it did. I cannot imagine writing a book in 8 weeks. That's just amazing.
Well, the good news is I didn't have to write the whole thing. I wrote about a third of it. So it wasn't like, you know, I mean, it really was. But still, I think that, you know, God just gives you grace for the things he wants. Do. My husband was on board. So many evenings he took on kid stuff so I could, you know, as soon as dinner was over, disappear and have, you know, 3 or 4 hours of writing time in my room before I started passing out. So, I mean, it was just, you know, it wasn't just that the timing was right for my dad or even for the concept of the book. It was right for our family. And I didn't see that, but my husband saw that, and I'm glad that he did.
Well, I love, too, the point, if you think about, you know, as we talk about in this podcast of these steps of obedience, that it wasn't easy. You know, when he asks us to do things, it doesn't necessarily mean just because it's God ordained and that's what he wants you to do, that it's going to be easy. And many times it's very difficult.
Oh, yeah. And people think that faith means a cakewalk, you know, that equate, well, since I'm having faith and since this is something God is asking me to do, it should just flow. And the reality is that sometimes it does. But sometimes it doesn't flow. It's a fight. It's a fight because you are so convicted and convinced of what God has asked you to do. And with your eyes on the prize and with your focus, you know, just far out, right around, right just short of the borders of where he's asking you to go, you believe it so truly and so deeply that you're willing to fight through, fighting people, fighting circumstances, fighting voices. It's not, you know, faith can be clear and it can be a flowing situation, but it also many times it is a fight, but it's a fight because, you know, deep down in your heart that God has asked you to do something. And that's why I think a lot of people peter out. Sometimes it's because they've lost the faith, but also it may not have been something that they were supposed to be having faith about in the beginning, but they thought it was. It's what they want. It's their dreams. And because it can be stamped with it's a good thing or it's a God thing, then it becomes God's will. And that's not always the case. I've seen many people who desire a certain kind of ministry, or they desire an answer to prayer, or they desire, you know, just anything from God, just kind of flake out over time, not because they didn't want it, but because they didn't believe it. There's a difference in something that you want and something that you ultimately deeply believe. Because even if you don't want it, even if you don't even want it anymore, you still believe in it. And, you know, that's, I was thinking about, a friend of mine, we were talking about marriage, and, you know, marriage is difficult, and she was talking about, you know, she just didn't want to be married anymore, but she didn't feel free to do anything different. I don't even know that she had grounds to do anything different, but the point is, She couldn't even free herself. She said, because I believe so strongly. I believe so strongly in God's opinion of my marriage and what he's asked me to do, that even though I don't want it anymore, the belief is what holds me tethered to a situation when outside of that, I'd probably be gone. And I think that's the that's the difference. Do you really, really believe whatever it is that God said to you? Because that is the tie, even when the tide is coming in or rolling out, that keeps you attached to the dock, a really strong belief system in whatever he said to you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that really goes back to, number one, God's truth, his word, knowing what he says, and especially with marriage, you know, and what he says about marriage. And there's so many things that we can think about where we have to be faithful, even though we may not feel like it, you know, like just, I think about forgiveness, for example, you know, it's like that's one of those things that we have to obey through faith, even though we don't feel like it, and just continually returning to that. But also, I think there's, you know, being able to clearly hear God's call, because I think he does sometimes have a very personal, I mean, just like this book, a very personal assignment for us. And we have to take the time to be with God to be able to hear those things. So I think when we're thinking about, you know, our faith steps and our obedience, that it really has to start with that understanding of what God wants from us. And it just, we have to be sure that we're taking that time with the Lord, and so we can actually hear that voice. Because I think so many times, you know, don't you think that people are so distracted and they wonder why they don't feel like they have a faithful life, because they're not even stopping to find out, you know, what they are supposed to believe in and do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just put a podcast out this morning, and that was the first point. You know, how do you live a life? How do you live a life well, and how do you live a life where you remember what's important? And the first thing was, you have to stop and look. And most of us are just so busy going that we're not actually paying attention. And it's paying attention to the recurring themes, the things that keep happening, the experiences that keep coming to you, good or bad, the things that God continues to speak to you. Because sometimes, you know, God speaking to you is in calling you for something, not necessarily to a destiny, but just, you know, what you're supposed to do with your husband or with your kids, or what you're supposed to do with your work. Those things don't all the time drop from the sky into your lap. It's a gentle massaging. It's a gentle continuation of similar themes over time. And if you're not stopping to look, you don't notice. You don't notice. It's kind of like, you know, I live in Texas, and so when you're driving along the freeways in April, and it, you know, the Texas state flower is the bluebonnet. Well, you will know, we all know, if you live around here, we know where the bluebonnets grow the most. But what I could totally do is drive down this certain freeway where the bluebonnets are the biggest on my side of town, and completely miss it. And that's happened a couple of years where I'm like, what happened to the bluebonnets? And they're like, they came and went. Because it wasn't that they weren't there. It's that I wasn't looking. It's kind of like when you're buying a car and you go get a car, and you know, you maybe say, I'm going to narrow it down to two or three choices. And then you've got two choices. And all of a sudden, now that you've paid attention to the car that you might be interested in, now you see them everywhere. And you've been driving up and down the same streets, not really knowing that that car was available or that you were interested in it. But as soon as you paid attention to it, now you see it everywhere. And if we don't stop to go shopping, basically, if we don't stop to say, hey, God, in this moment of my life today, you do that through journaling or through prayer or just talking out loud to him. What's going on that I need to pay attention to? When you do that, then you start seeing themes arise. And in those themes, that's where you get direction for next steps, to just get in the river of where God is already flowing and flow along with him.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. I love that. The other thing that I wanted to pull out is that you said, you know, I don't have this, what is a kingdom woman? I don't have this figured out. And just letting, you know, that tendency to let perfectionism get in the way of what you could share, of what you had. And I know in our church, and I know many people talk about, is that there's always somebody in front of you in our journey, and there's always somebody behind you. So there, no matter what, we always have something to share that God has done in our lives. So appreciated that as a perfectionist, you know, I always call myself a recovering perfectionist, just the reminder that we don't have to have everything figured out to be able to help people along their journey.
That's right. That's right. I mean, if you know, you should go, but sometimes knowing and going, there's a process in between. But that shouldn't stop us from one, being aware of what we should do and sharing that if it can help somebody else. And that's the problem. We don't want to call ourselves what God calls us because we don't see that we measure up. And he's like, but it's not about you measuring up. It's about you identifying with where I see you. Now, yes, there's some work that has to be done, but it's like, you know, your kids. I can tell my kids, tell my boys, you're such gentlemen. I could tell them that. You're so kind. You're so polite. I really appreciate how you're treating me. I can say those things to them. It doesn't mean that they're those things all the time, because they can be bratty and they can forget to open the door for me. And, you know, I've got a 12-year-old. He can get a little smacky with his way he's talking to me every now and then. So it's not that it's that way all the time. It's not perfect. But that doesn't mean I don't call them higher and say, yes, but this is who you are. This is where you're headed. And you may have a deviation here and there, but overall, I don't want to label by where he's at. I want to label by where I know he can go. And what God has told us, you know, in his word is how he wants us to be. And he sees us how we can be in him. Now, it's our job to flesh that out. But, you know, we sometimes get stuck in, like you said, just being a perfectionist and seeing, okay, if we can't do it exactly the way we think it should be done, then we're not that at all. And we don't give ourselves any credit. And we end up beating ourselves up, which doesn't propel us towards the goal that he has for us anyway.
I love that, being able to give grace for where we are, but also have that goal in mind of where we want to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story, Crystal. I don't know if you have any other scripture in mind that you might want to encourage people with as they walk through their faith stories.
Oh, yeah. My favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11. And a lot of people get excited about that verse, for I know the plans that I have for you. And they get excited about the plans, you know, that he has these plans and there's something big coming. You know, God's got it all. And he does. He does. But what I love about this scripture more than anything is that it's not just, you know, any kind of plan. It's plans for good and not for disaster. Because if we believe that, then we can look at our life now, and regardless of what we see, we can believe that he's working something for good. You know, and so I think when we go to, like you mentioned, She Speaks, and you've got a bunch of women there who want the plan. You know, I want to be the speaker. I want to be the writer. I want to have a book deal. I'm going for a goal. I'm going for a point in time where I can say, oh, this was the plan. But what I love to focus on, the fact that whatever it is, it's good. And between now and whatever, you know, that destination point is, he's good. And everything that happens, it gets me from where I am to where he wants me to be. It's all good. It's not disastrous, but it gives me a future and hope. And I think if we could focus in on the process of the plan as opposed to the plan itself, we would be so much more content, so much more happy, so much more full of joy. Because if every day you wake up and go, my God is good, and regardless of what I see, this is working together for my good, for the plan. But it's not about the plan. It's not about the result. It's not about the end of the journey. It's about him being good every day from now until then. And if and that will completely and utterly change your perspective if you choose to see it that way. We get distracted and disappointed when we don't see the plan. I really want to be a speaker or a writer. I really want to be married, or I really want to have a child. Or I really want that promotion, or, you know, I really want a certain house or a certain car, or I just really want, you know, I really want peace. None of those things are bad. But between now and the time that he actually chooses to give that to you, should he choose to do so, he's still good. And that's why I love that verse so much.
That's good. Actually, I actually did an online Bible study with Proverbs 31 with Lisa's book, What Happens When Women Walk in Faith. And she was talking about, she shared her story about how her ministry grew from, you know, just typing on a typewriter when she was young, all the way to now to what the ministry looks like. And she talked about the fact that, you know, that is what we think, just what you're saying, is that we have these end goals in mind. You think that's what the exciting part is about God's, you know, God's plans. And I admit, I definitely can fall into that category a lot of times. But what she says, what she would not trade, is the steps along the way that God provided for her to get to that point. It was like you said, it was really about the process and the journey and seeing God show up in those small steps versus where it was leading.
Exactly. It's all about the small steps. You know, I have this thought about, we live at the end of a rural road, and the first time I came out here, it was a 6-lane road that turned into a 4-lane road that turned into a 2-lane road. And it was nighttime. and the lights eventually went away. And all that I had in front of me were these yellow lines. And I was sitting in the front of my car with my hands on the steering wheel, leaning forward, a bit apprehensive because I didn't know where I was going. And the road was very curvy, lots of up and down. And again, it wasn't lit. And then I realized something. When the light's on, actually my bright's on, if I was looking intently, then I could always see 5 to 7 lines out in front of me. And then I realized 5 to 7 lines are all I need to see to get where I'm going. Now, much would have rather made this trip, now that I know what was at the end of that road, made that trip in the dark. I would have much rather, made it in the light in the daytime, just so I could see, so I wouldn't have to be afraid of what was coming next. But I also learned in that situation that that's how life is. God always has a destination. He always has a plan. He's always carrying us somewhere. But in the meantime, our job is not to figure out where the house is or the plan or the, whatever we're headed for. Our goal is to realize that along the way, the 5 to 7 lines are exactly what we're supposed to be looking at intently so that we can hear what he wants us to hear and do what he wants us to do. So I'm all about that next step.
Yes, we've talked about that many times on this podcast, and it's just such a good reminder, because you can just fall into that trap of, give me the big plan, Lord, and just remember to every single day go to him and say, what's my assignment for today?
Yep, you've got it.
Yeah. So, Crystal, thanks so much. How can people find your book and find you online and your podcast and all that?
Well, they can find me online at crystalevanshurst.com. My first name is spelled with a C-H. Hurst is spelled with a U. And I blog there. My podcasts are there. And I'm probably there about once a week or so. A lot of people follow me on social media because I'm there multiple times a day, especially on Instagram. But I'm Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and then, of course, my blog. But I'd love to have anyone who wants to stop by take a listen.
All right, and they should do that. Thanks so much for being with us today, Crystal.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Crystal, that she had so much wisdom to share, and I'm so glad that she took the time to share with us. Two things that I really wanted to point out is, and the first is that where she talked about recurring themes, and I think she also referred to it as a gentle massage, that God doesn't necessarily, drop our next step down into our lap, that sometimes we have to just pay attention and to pull together those recurring themes. Maybe it's a verse that you keep seeing everywhere. Maybe it's a word that keeps showing up in verses or songs or books that you're reading or blogs. Maybe it's a feather that keeps showing up in your life like it was for us. And that pointed you to his word and what he was trying to do in your life. But I think it really is, sometimes God is just, even with his podcast, he just dropped the word podcast in my spirit, really. And I just kept hearing podcast, podcast, podcast. And so that kept recurring. So I think that's really important to think about as we think about our next steps, is that recurring themes, that when we're paying attention, and that's what we need to do, when we're paying attention, we can start to see where God is at work, because we have to look for him. The other thing I want to talk about is how she talks about her mom telling her to go back. Because sometimes we have to, when we're deciding on what we're supposed to be doing, we need to stop and go back to maybe something God had told you before. And just really to see if that lines up with the direction that he gave you. And I think that was, because I think that in what we've heard in a lot of people's stories is that God ends up doing what you originally wanted or what he originally gave you a vision to do, but it's not necessarily how you thought it was going to turn out. So I think sometimes we have to get to a point where we do look back and say, hey, this was really the same thing. It's just turning out a little bit different. So I think that's really important to take a look back and at your story and what God has talked to you about before, and just to see if your next step line up with that in maybe just a different way than you thought. So once again, I hope you enjoyed that. You can see all the show notes over at featherspodcast.com. We would love for you to leave a comment. Also, if you haven't left a review on iTunes, would love for you to do that. Appreciate to help spread the word. So I think that's it for this week. Thanks again so much for joining us, and we will see you next time on Feathers.